3:30 to the night. Watch your one, see ya.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Or you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show. We're on the NCRA radio networks, meaning we are in the situation where we broadcast from, of course, from our original flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, but we also broadcast through different radio stations, for example, CJSF, CFUV, CGMP, or wherever radio stations are available on the National Campus and Radio Association Network. I'm, of course, your guide to Disability Network, Mr. Kelly Rayburn, and across from me is Mr. Michael Bourbon. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty okay. So,
this is a whole new show for today.
Yeah.
For an hour.
Yeah.
How are things?
Good. Good. Things are going really well. We've picked up lots of support for our crowdfund and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just watching for the funding to come in so we can get on the road in May, at the end of May, for the documentary. Just One More Step. Of course, the star of our documentary is going to be Cheryl Young. We're trying to tell her story of fibromyalgia and chronic pain, things like that. So, yeah. Check us out on Indiegogo.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So, I got a message from you last night.
Me?
Yeah. A text message from you last night.
Oh,
you were apparently at the Canucks game or something.
Mostly, I don't talk about sports, but
yeah, no, it's not. It just happened to be that I woke up for my early morning exercise routine, and I was like, Kelly.
Yes.
It was just kind of funny that I among all the tweets, the Facebook shares and all that kind of stuff, there was a text message from you saying that you were at last night's game. That was it. I just thought it was kind of funny.
That's I was at the game. It was Colorado Avalanche against the Canucks, and I mean, I am a big fan of Colorado, Colorado Avalanche started at the beginning when they traded off from the Quebec Nordiques, and of course, I was following them all the way since the very beginning. Of course, inaugural, they actually won the Stanley Cup, so.
Yeah.
Well, so anyways, well. Yeah. Anyways, I have some clips here. I don't know about you, but last night during, and of course when I was over at the Canucks game, the NDP caucus had an emergency meeting. This is a provincial NDP caucus. And of course, that was in this riding, actually, Vancouver, mm-hmm. Point Grey. So David Eby was talking about some issues on housing affordability and how housing needs to be changed in the provincial legislature. And what he is saying is what they need to get changed, to get fixed, is the situation of people selling their home and leaving their home vacant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And doing nothing about it, right? Most people, what they try and do is try and buy a home and use the home.
Yes.
So that's becoming more of a problem, don't you think?
It is an actual problem. There's a whole market out there where people flip homes.
Mm-hmm.
And some homes have been, before they've been even occupied, they've been flipped six times maybe.
Mm.
And that becomes a problem because what it does is it drives the price of the home up
mm.
before a family can even get in it. It's like, it's part of what makes our housing market so unaffordable.
Mm. So this is a clip called, this is from the BC NDP caucus, Spencer calling for the action on housing affordability. So here's a clip on from the legislature. You want to listen to that?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and we'll come right back in a moment.
Vancouver West End.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. Well, we have a question before us. Is housing a right, or is housing just for the rich? Well, unfortunately, Honorable Speaker, this government has decided housing is just for the rich. They call it the most successful housing strategy in North America, in the world, in the known universe, Honorable Speaker. Well, you know, Honorable Speaker, when people cannot afford their rent, when they cannot afford their mortgage, when they're going bust, when they're ending up homeless, that's not success in my books. It may well be in the government side, but that is a failure, an abject failure, Honorable Speaker. And what does the minister offer? He says it's successful. What does he offer when you point to the number of homeless people on the streets increasing? He says, well, I've got an anecdote to share, but no, we don't need any real numbers. What does the premier say? She says, well, you can move to Fort St. John, you can move to the north. Well, Honorable Speaker, those are not solutions. Those are sidestepping, those are failures. Because you know, Honorable Speaker, we should have a government that puts British Columbians' housing needs first, not the needs of the rich to see that their assets continue to increase, not the needs of those who are just looking out for an investment property. Because Honorable Speaker, you look across community after community after community, you find empty homes that are bought just simply as investments. In my own community, Honorable Speaker, you find one quarter of Coal Harbour housing sitting vacant. Why? Simply because it's an asset that appreciates in value. Well, this government does nothing. When you point that out to them, they say, oh, we have no data. When we say, well, here's a way to collect data, they refuse. Well, Honorable Speaker, this is impacting renters too. This government's focused only on those who can afford to own. Well, Honorable Speaker, we also have to consider those who rent in this province. Over 40% who rent, Honorable Speaker. In my community, one in three are paying more than 50% of their income just to be able to stay in their home. One in two pay more than 30%. And a number, and I find them, I talk to them, end up on the street through no fault of their own because of illness, etc. That's why we tried to start a rent bank, and it's going well. Did the province embrace that? No, they didn't. Instead, preferring to take a hands-off approach as people end up homeless. We need to fix the residential tenancy branch. It is not working. Rent evictions, breaking the law to try and push people out just so you can jack up rents is the way it's working. For the government side, they think that's a success. I think that's a failure. You actually have to enforce the law. And if people break the law, whether it be landlords, whether it be tenants, you have to enforce the law. This government refuses. Not once have they collected money from companies or tenants as well who have broken the law through administrative penalties. Not once. We need to look at other models, Quebec, San Francisco, New York, to look at the whole range of affordability options that exist to bring in greater rental affordability, not worsen it. This government just recently increased the cost. You got a challenge with your tenant, you got a challenge with your landlord, now you have to pay $100. Person I know has been evicted, unevicted, evicted, unevicted, all because the guy wanted to buy a house, said, I need a place to stay while I'm trying to buy the house. You know what happened? He said, you're evicted. Then he sent an email saying you're not evicted. But according to the RTB, they actually had to appeal to say, you can't evict us just so you can short-term use our home and pay $100 to do it. Well, that's putting further and further out of reach for vulnerable people as well. This just shows exactly how this government does not care about housing affordability issues. They decide that those who pay the checks on their side to bankroll their campaigns matter, big real estate corporations, big landlord corporations, but when it comes to the people, a big fat zero. You know, Honorable Speaker, British Columbians deserve better. They deserve much, much better. And we on the New Democrat side will fight for them each and every step of the way to improve housing affordability, to stand up for renters' rights, and to make a difference so that British Columbians actually are first when it comes to housing in this province. Thank you, Honorable Speaker.
So, that is Spencer calling for the action affordability on housing.
You know, housing, it isn't affordable at all. In order to find a reasonable rent, you have to go as far out now as Abbotsford or Chilliwack. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
because most of the houses are more cheaper.
Yeah,
than if you were to live in the big city.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, when I was over in Chilliwack, the gas prices were about close to a dollar, whereas here it's $1.19, $1.20. There's a difference.
Yeah. White Rock. White Rock actually has higher gas prices than Vancouver does in most cases.
Because
I sometimes have to fill up here or there. So, you know.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yeah, there's but when you get out to like Chilliwack and all that kind of stuff, is like gas prices just kind of fall off. It's like, wow. It's like,
right.
You know, but the government does need to do something about all that. They also need to do something about, you know, developers, they go and they go tear down a neighborhood and build these condos, and they take away more of the affordable housing because the condos I guess a condo that like a 800 square foot condo is like they want $200,000 to $300,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how's that affordable for a family?
Mm.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's like,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, you want the area to grow, but you need to have people living in the area with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it isn't affordable to raise children in the Vancouver area.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. Very big problem.
Big problem is, yes. I'm going to switch topics now, and we're going to... Do you have anything before we do anything? Anything else? Do you have anything, any events that are upcoming?
Make sure you... I'll put it up on our Facebook page again about Operation Smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that event's coming pretty quick. Do your best to get a ticket to that, to help these doctors with cleft palate and cleft lip, and South America and other lying areas like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I got no other events coming up except Friday, tomorrow. Of course, today's the 17th. Tomorrow's the 18th. Of course, that's my birthday. So,
hey, happy birthday.
Thank you. I won't be in tomorrow, so just to let you know if you're on Co-op Radio listeners. So Michael will be doing the presentation in next week as well. So I won't be in for this week and next week. I'll probably be back again on the 1st. So
he's taking advantage because I'm going to be gone for a month and a half.
You are.
At the end of May into July, right?
Okay, so
for the shoot with the documentary.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I'll try to send some clips into you and all that kind of stuff, but basically you'll be here by yourself.
Yeah, well, I may not be here by myself. I'm hoping maybe I'll have another person along.
That's one of the perks, though, is we're going to be doing Skype calls.
Okay.
While we're at rest points.
Right.
And that's one of the perks is we're allowing those people who actually support it at a certain dollar amount to enjoy the Skype calls along mm-hmm. the way, you know?
Okay.
And, of course, we hope to have some of those Skype calls so that we can actually have Cheryl appear here on our show, Community Living.
Cool.
So, okay. Which would be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping to bring in Carrie Gibson along. If she has anything, Carrie, give us a call.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Both you and I are personal phone numbers, of course, and then just let us know when you want to go on the air. And then, of course, I've got our good friend, Dan Yard. Of course, Dan Yard has been away for a while, and I thought I wouldn't be able to contact him, but I just that's the reason why I went to the hockey game yesterday, so I can bump. So I just like bumped into him. I'm like, Dan
that was
Yard?
what your message was.
Yeah,
that
so
you had run into him, and we haven't heard from him in a very long time.
Yeah, so I've got his number, so I'm hoping that he and I will have some contacts on our show. On a future date. So he has some very interesting news, so good to know. So cool. You're not the only person who's around, Michael, so there are other people that want to do this show.
Yeah, there's always, somebody that, mm-hmm. that has some news,
Absolutely.
It's good to keep in touch with people.
Mm-hmm. So that's my gig, and you have your gig. We're going to go to a Autism Live now that was happening on Tuesday, March 15th, mm-hmm. and it's a 2-hour segment, but if you go to youtube.com and do the search word Autism Live, you can hear the full 2 hours of the show. So we're just going to play you about 40 minutes of it. So, all right. Here we go. And sorry about the buzz, because I don't know what the buzz is all about, so.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. The Center for Autism and Related Disorders advises working with a board-certified behavior analyst who has experience with autism before starting any intensive behavioral intervention. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod, and we're thrilled to be coming to you on this Tuesday morning. And I got to tell you, at the start of this, this is going to be our last Tuesday for a little while as we're doing April and getting into May. We've got a lot of other things that we're going to film, so we're going to go to a Wednesday, Thursday schedule only. So I just want to give you guys that programming note. And then when that's over, we'd like to hear from you guys, whether you missed the Tuesday show or whether you like the film stuff more. We're going to let you guys decide on that. but thrilled to be here with you on this Tuesday morning because it's the third Tuesday of the month, and you know what that means. In just a little while, in our second hour today, we're going to welcome Dr. Linda Copeland to come and be with us. She is a board-certified behavior analyst, and she is a developmental pediatrician. She's both of those things. That's why we call her the unicorn, because it seems like those things, like that might be a myth. It's too good to be true, right? But it isn't. There is one of them, and Dr. Linda Copeland fills those shoes. So she's going to be with us answering some of the questions that you guys have sent in. But we're going to be with you live for the next 2 hours talking about autism from a 360-degree perspective, and I'm thrilled to be able to do that. I got to tell you, if it looks like I have extra bags under my eyes, I totally want to blame that on fabulous friends that we got to spend some time with yesterday. One of our favorite viewers and friends of the show happened to be in town and was at Disneyland, and so my son and I drove down to spend some time with her and part of her extended family and her lovely, lovely son, who just absolutely melts my heart every time I see a picture of him. And I'm talking about Carrie Mallory Thompson. We want to give a shout out to her. Autism Will Not Define My Son is her site, and she does some incredible things on that site. I urge you to check it out. But we got to spend some good quality time with the boys last night on the city walk outside Disneyland. It was really, really fun. But I have extra bags under my eyes and an extra gravitas to my voice this morning because of it. I have burned the candle at too many ends. In any case, regardless of that, we're going to be with you live for the next 2 hours. And we've got
And before we do that, we need to take a break. And we will be right back in a moment.
Do you like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing piece.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're going to go back to the Autism Live and some clips on Tuesday, March 15th.
Incredible show for you. But I always like to remind you that this entire show is meant to be interactive. It's only as good as your input. So Kelby is going to show you some of the different ways that you can participate, some of the different things, some of the different ways you can be watching the show. While he's doing that, I'm going to remind you that our homepage is autism-live.com. When you go there, lots of things to do, but one of the most important things is that you can watch the live show there by clicking on the triangle, excuse me, or you can send us messages via the live feature, which is just to the side there. If you put your cursor in the box that says your question, All you have to do is type and hit enter, and magically it will show up here on my screen and you and I can have a conversation. But much more important than that, you can have a conversation with the experts and the guests that we have here. And I know that's just a wonderful treat, right? It's totally free, totally anonymous. We do ask that you are specific with your question about who you want to ask. Use names instead of he and she so that I know exactly who you're talking about. And it's always useful to let us know where in the world you are so that if we're giving a mention of resources that we're not telling you something that isn't available in your area. That would make me feel bad. We always like to remind you at the start of the show that while we have many experts that are on the show, I thank you very much, but I'm not one of them. I am an autism mom. I'm a former teacher. I'm proud of both of those things. And I'm thrilled that I get the opportunity to be on this journey with you. And my whole purpose in being here is to help you in whatever way I can, in whatever way you need. This is not a one-size-fits-all situation, right? Everybody needs something different, and there are lots of resources that are out there, not enough. But I know as time goes on, we can together hold hands, create more resources, but let's use the ones that are there. And if I can save you 5 minutes and $5, boy, I'm a happy woman for the day. And if I can do more than that, woohoo! Good. So, but don't mistake me for an expert, just to mistake me for a cheerleader. Well, don't mistake me for that either, because that's not entirely, you know, not in the traditional sense. Cheerleader in a non-traditional sense. How's that? and somebody who's just passionate about this journey, passionate about our community, by the way, which to me has a whole lot of people in it, because that's all of the parents, the teachers, the practitioners, the aunts, the uncles, everyone who cares about somebody who's on the autism spectrum, and of course, everybody who is on the autism spectrum. We're all a part of that community in my eyes. So that's my say on that. Now, we like to start every morning with something we fondly refer to as the jargon of the day. This is when we take on one word, one phrase, one acronym, and we try to figure out, what are the experts talking about here? What does this have to do with me? How can knowing this term help me to get to something else? Okay. I believe this is the first time that we are doing this definition on the show, which is a little shocking to me, personally. But today's jargon term is autoimmune disorder. No, we're not talking about the Audubon and driving crazily on the Audubon, right? So let's take a look at what our actual definition is. Actual definition, autoimmune disorder. An autoimmune disorder occurs when the body's immune system attacks and destroys healthy body tissue by mistake. There are more than 80 types of autoimmune disorders. And I want to take just a second. We didn't want to convolute this too much and list all the different areas of the body that can be affected by autoimmune disorders, because it's basically head to toe, absolutely everything. It can be major organs, it could be your skin, it could be your kidneys, it can be absolutely anything. I think we tend to think of these things in the pocket that we understand, either because we have an autoimmune disorder or a loved one does and it seems to strike in a specific place. But it really, end to end, it's pretty comprehensive. Head to toe, attacking healthy tissue. So let's take a look at what our working definition is to try to consolidate this a little bit more. An autoimmune disorder, it's when an individual's immune system does not distinguish between healthy tissue and harmful substances, and therefore it sets off a reaction that destroys normal tissues. So when you stop and consider, think about somebody who's having an allergy attack, right? if you get something up your nose that's inappropriate, your body says, foreign substance, this is not okay, and you begin to sneeze. And the body is trying to eject it from your nose so that you don't inhale it and it doesn't harm you. It's a natural form of defense. We'll sneeze. Now, sometimes people are allergic to something where the body says, I'm identifying that substance as something that's a foreign and dangerous substance. And maybe it's innocuous to 9 out of 10 people, but to the person who's allergic to it, their body begins to sneeze and tries to, if they're smelling it, and tries to expel it. Well, sneezing is a pretty violent thing, and especially for those of you who've ever had an allergy attack that started with sneezing, it can be a very violent thing. And if you think about how violent the body works in that way to expel something, and transfer that to, you know, say that there's something happening internally and the body is mounting its defenses to try to fight against it. Now, we want that when it's a flu. We want that when it's a disease. We want that kind of reaction from the body. But when the body is tricked into thinking that healthy tissue is a foreign substance or something that is toxic and begins to mount the battle to eject it, it can be something that's really devastating to somebody's health. And we're going to be talking about autoimmune a lot today, so I don't want to get too into it. But I think you're going to see why this is a conversation that we would have on Autism Live. I personally have an autoimmune disorder, and it's something that I struggle with every single day. And I don't think that I had any idea when things began to happen. And I think I always had leaned towards autoimmune disorder, but there was a period of time in my life when I had crossed the line. And couldn't manage like I had been able to for so many years. I wondered why everybody was just so much more hale and hearty than I was. But I managed, you know? I was able to do all the things that I wanted to do, even if maybe it was probably a little bit harder for me. And then a day came when the line was crossed and I couldn't do all the things that I wanted to do anymore, and it was kind of devastating for me in a big, big way. But I recall being at a conference and there was a moment, I'd just been diagnosed, and I was still kind of struggling with the reality of all of it. And there was a moment when I was interviewing a group of moms. We were standing in a circle, and I'd finished the interview, and as I was turning off everything so that we were no longer recording, one of the moms was saying to the other one about, oh, well, you know, but that's part and parcel of an autoimmune disorder. And my head kind of, you know, whipped around. I said, oh, you have an autoimmune disorder too. And she said, well, yes, I think probably everyone here does. This was an autism conference. And all of the women in the circle, they were like, oh, yeah, no, I do. Yeah, no, I have one. Everyone, all of the women in the circle. And it just sort of rang a bell in my head. And someone said, oh, well, you know, the next thing at the conference, there's a doctor that's doing a talk on the immune regulation and autism. You'd probably want to come with us. And I thought, well, gosh, I think I will go in. And a lot of it was over my head. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a head for science. I want it stripped down, which is why we do Jargon of the Day. But in any case, at one point they said, we just want to stop for a second and ask, there were a lot of moms and a few dads in the room, and they said, we want to ask how many of you have been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder that have a child who's on the autism spectrum. And a sea of hands went up. I would say 98% of the hands in the room went up. And that certainly got my attention. And for the rest of the day, as I was interviewing people, when the interview was over, I said to them, I'm just curious, do you have an autoimmune disorder? And I think there was one woman the entire day who did not have an autoimmune disorder. So. We're going to be talking about this today, and I've brought you a very wonderful guest who's going to be able to speak to this very eloquently. So, autoimmune disorder, this is why we're talking about it on an autism show. It's very prevalent in the moms, and we're finding it's turning out to be very prevalent among our children as well. Okay, moving on, our question of the day, and part and parcel of everything we're talking about, so we've got this question on Facebook today, and I'm very interested to see the responses based on what I just said to you about that conference. Do you or does anyone in your family have an autoimmune disorder? We'll be looking forward to reading what your responses are. You can give us information or just say yes or no. But we're just taking a little poll there, seeing if what happened at that conference holds true everywhere. And, of course, we always have a topic of the week. And the topic is something that when you have an autoimmune disorder becomes very near and dear to you, and that's working with what you have. Not saying, oh, well, why don't I have what somebody else has? Why am I not able to do this? But working with what you have. And this doesn't just apply to an autoimmune disorder. It doesn't just apply to autism, although it applies to both of those things very well. But when we can get into the mindset of, okay, this is what it is, it's kind of, you know, along the same lines. I hadn't thought about it. We had Byron Katie on the show a couple of months ago, her book, Loving What Is. You know, when we get to that acceptance, I don't know about always loving it, right? I'm not that highly evolved. Katie hasn't gotten me there yet. But at least getting to the acceptance of it. You don't have to be in contentment as far as I'm concerned, but the acceptance so that we're not debating it anymore. Well, this is where we are. How do we use what we have? And let's get back to work. How can we make things happen with the circumstances that we have? And I'll tell you, we've got a great show for you. Some of the guests that we're going to be on the show here, Nava Paskowitz Asner is here this morning with us. She and I have been talking about doing this show for over a year, to have her talk about her story about autoimmunity and how this affects her life. And she's somebody, I can't think of anything better, because I think in a lot of ways, for me, she's the poster child of this, because to look at her, she's a beautiful, strong, capable woman, an athlete, and you would never guess that she is dealing on a regular basis with autoimmune issues. So great, great guest, and we're going to be talking about that at length with her. Today is self-care. It's just because we're going to be letting go of the Tuesday shows for a while doesn't mean we're letting go of self-care. We're not. We're going to talk about the idea of taking supplements, because a lot of us need to for various and sundry reasons. We've got some autism news for you that kind of goes hand in hand with this autoimmunity. And then in the second hour, we have Dr. Linda Copeland. As I mentioned before, she's a developmental pediatrician and she's a board certified behavior analyst. She's going to be with us to answer some of your questions, some of which happen to be about autoimmune disorders. So all of that, and I know it sounds like a really deep and depressing show, but we'll find the levity where we can, right? But this is important stuff. We need to talk about it, because being healthy is something that no one should take for granted ever. And maybe if we can talk about autoimmune, maybe we'll help some of you to recognize if you need to see your doctor. And maybe I would love to think that there are some of you out there that we can help you before you need to get to that point. So all of that and ever so much more coming up in just a few minutes here on Autism Live. Stick with us.
And of course, we're going to have to take a break as well. And we will be back in a moment with more, possibly maybe some more Autism Live. I'm also going to put in a little clip of Michelle Mungall tells the minister to reverse the mean of the spirit decision of clawback of the bus pass program. So lots more to come in a moment. Did you want to say something before we go?
If I found that what they were saying about autoimmune diseases, because I actually have what's considered to be an autoimmune disease, psoriasis is considered to be an autoimmune disease because it affects the skin.
Mm.
And it's just something that people, they're more common than what people think.
Hmm.
Very interesting that they brought that up.
Yes.
Yep.
Something to think about.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back in a moment.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&D or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in a moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by me, DJ Rain, and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca.
And, of course, you're tuning into the Late Night Show, of course. Yeah, I'm DJ Ray, and I'm Kelly. And across from me is Michael Rubin. How are you doing?
Good.
So I have a little clip before we go to our autism thing. More news about the Bus Pass program, and we'll hear from Michelle Mungull from our question period.
And for Nelson Creston.
Madam Speaker, like the hundreds of thousands of people around British Columbia, the Mission Association for Community Living is concerned about this government's bus pass clawback for people with disabilities. They are asking for this decision to be reversed. And I quote, BC disability rate is among the lowest in the country, yet we live in one of the most expensive provinces. They also noted, quote, to finally give people an increase only to claw it back for something as essential as transportation is mean-spirited and out of touch. So will the Minister of Social Development, if she's not going to listen to the hundreds of thousands of other British Columbians who are voicing their concern on this issue, will she at least listen to the Mission Association for Community Living and reverse her decision and this government's decision to implement the bus pass clawback?
Minister for Social Development and Social Innovation.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. And we can continue to canvass this subject again and again here in the House. The investment is a $170 million investment to raise the rates and provide transportation to 100,000 people who receive disability assistance in this province. Government recognized there was an inequity in the system with 45,000 people not receiving supports for transportation. By making this change, people still have the transportation subsidy. They also have the money to pay for the subsidy. And Madam Speaker, now the system is fair.
Member for Nelson Creston on a supplemental.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, the minister's been on this line of spin for about a month, and in this spin line, she's been accusing people with disabilities and their advocates
members
of misrepresenting the information, when in fact they are the very people.
Members, this House will come to order. Minister. Please continue.
Madam Speaker, the best people to deliver the facts on this issue are the very people who are going to be living the results of these changes. People with disabilities, they are the best people to communicate what's going on. And in fact, if anybody... Madam Speaker, in fact, if anybody has been misrepresenting what's been going on, the minister has, with falsely representing the position of an advocate in this very question period. Following the exchange, BC Acorn had to publicly correct the minister, saying that their quote was taken out of context and not accurate. BC Acorn also said, quote, Libs tried to make an insultingly tiny rate increase look better, and directly told the minister, quote, you know our members are furious.
So again, to the Minister, stop with the spin. Just stop with it already. There's hundreds of thousands of people around this province who are concerned, who are angry, who want to see this government do the right thing. Will you do that and end the bus pass clawback? Stop giggling while you're at it.
Member for Nelson Creston knows it's never appropriate to impugn an improper motive. Minister of Social Development.
Madam Speaker, what's being taken out of context here are the facts. Madam Speaker, there is an increase. There still remains a subsidized bus pass. People still have transportation. They have choice on how they try to use that transportation. The communication here is the problem, and it needs to stop from the members opposite. They are causing anxiety and stress for people with disabilities around this province. Only the NDP, Madam Speaker, would see a $170 million investment as a cut.
What? Oh, my goodness. Michael?
That last statement was... That it wasn't so sadly misrepresentative of what's going on, it would be comical.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what's happening in the day of the legislature, ladies and gentlemen. So moving right along, here's the rest of the Autism Live. And, of course, we're not going to play all of it, so... we got about 10 more minutes till our show ends. So, yeah. So hope you guys have a good morning, and we'll see you all again next week. Sorry, we're having some bit of technical difficulties here. I'm just going to reset it, and
maybe,
here we go.
If we can talk about autism, maybe we'll help some of you to recognize if you need to see your doctor, and maybe I would love to think that there are some of you out there that we can
help. Yeah, we just heard that. There we go. Sorry, you can hardly hear what she is saying, so I'm going to fast forward here.
Changing the word to...
Here we go.
Make you laugh.
Welcome back. Nava just said she's going to make me laugh, which would be good. Cause
better to laugh than cry.
Absolutely. Okay. And I was saying just a few minutes, first of all, welcome to Nava Paskowitz Asner.
Yes.
We love you.
We
just adore you.
Thank you.
And... we've been talking about doing this show for over a year,
yes.
You and I, talking about autoimmunity, and I was saying that you're kind of the poster child to me, because a lot of times people don't see autoimmune issues, and we look at somebody like you, and I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but we'd all like to be you.
Oh,
I mean, you're healthy, you're athletic.
I put up a good front.
Well, right. But no one to look at you would think, okay, this person is struggling
right.
with autoimmune issues.
Yes.
And I think that that's very common in the world. And I was saying before, I think it's very common among our autism moms.
Yes.
That I now have asking moms, you know, meeting an autism mom and then you hear the word autoimmune. Oh, I'm having a flare.
Yeah.
But I would never have guessed when I first met you. I remember you came into a room and I thought, wow, you know, there's this wonder, you have this wonderful healing presence about you. You're like an
Thank
earth
you.
Mother, you know, and vibrant is the word that I would use about you. Vibrant and caring and giving.
Thank you.
You would never guess. And then the first time I heard you say autoimmune, I went, oh, are you kidding
yeah.
me? Another person, and you, this is something, even right now, sitting here today, you're it's having issues. It's true.
I mean, I'm in the middle of a move. My house was just diagnosed with toxic black mold, and I'm in the middle of a Yiddish word, balagan. I have a big balagan going in my house. But because of all the stress going on, I'm having one of the worst flare-ups I've ever had in my whole life. I can barely move. And for me, it manifests in not just chronic pain. You know, I have fibromyalgia. I've been diagnosed for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. But in the last, I would say the last 5 or 6 years, totally coinciding with Edwin's diagnosis, I have daily chronic migraines. Mm. I have, not to get too TMI, but I have chronic diarrhea and stomach problems, and you know, a lot of my friends say I have like the kid's leaky gut syndrome. But for me, the biggest life-changing issue is my chronic pain. Yeah. And you know, I've been to many, many doctors, and I just started getting physical therapy, which is the first thing that really helped me.
Really?
Because like you say, I'm an athlete. I came from an athletic background. I taught surfing my whole life. I think that moving, for me personally, has helped me deal with my pain. When I during the winter, when it's cold, when I surf less, I feel like the Tin Man. I start to freeze up, literally. And when I'm moving, it's almost like my joints are lubricated.
Yeah.
I also have arthritis, mm-hmm. and I have something else, which is, she calls it, it's the second level of fibromyalgia, when your stress level becomes like general anxiety disorder and some of the other anxiety disorders. You can get this secondary form of fibromyalgia, because fibromyalgia is usually specific points in the body, and for me it's like literally if you touch me on the top of my head to the bottom of my foot, everywhere you touch me feels like a bruise. And it centers in my neck. You know, I have this like frozen neck syndrome. But because of this, you know, really intensified period of stress that we're going through, I'm having this flare-up that I haven't had, and I don't think I've ever had a flare-up like this, to be honest.
And you mentioned that it, you know, these things kind of came to a head and worsened around the time that one of your sons was...
Yes.
You were realizing, okay, this is autism, and not, I don't mean to sound disrespectful to people, but there, you know, I see that people are now starting to put autism in different categories, mm-hmm. and there are times when people talk about, well, you know, we tend to use the words high functioning, but people around me have started using the walk in the park autism. Yeah. I don't think anybody has a walk
well,
in the park autism.
We have one of each. We have one of each.
But we, I think there needs to be an awareness of the fact that there are more intensive types of autism,
right.
that are.
Is it,
but as you said, you've got one son that it's,
yes.
it's a little bit easier,
yes.
and one son that it's a little bit more.
Well,
intense.
I you know, when Matt and I got married, Brady Bunch of autism,
yes.
you know, and so we have a blended family, and my beautiful son Will, stepson Will, is more impacted than Edwin and Wolfie. Wolfie is so high functioning that he passed. He went
yeah.
to a tiny little private school, and he didn't have all the yearly IEPs. But with Edwin, who's more classically, you know, autistic and was nonverbal until he was about 4, it coincided with my divorce. So it was definitely the time.
So what's the Yiddish word again for that?
Balagan.
Balagan.
Well, that's more like, I don't know, I can't think of it offhand. But so it really became something that affected my day-to-day, especially the migraines. You know, I'm a naturalist. I have never taken a medication in my entire life. I had all my kids naturally. I don't take Imitrex or, you know, the regular migraine medication. Not because I don't believe in it. My dad was a medical doctor. I know they're wonderful medications that really, truly help people's lives.
Yeah.
I am not somebody who... is negative to something that really helps you. I personally have an OCD, one of my anxiety disorders. You know, I'm a little bit Woody Allen. I'm Jewish, Woody Allen. But I don't like the idea of taking something and having my body either have a bad reaction or just, I don't like seeing the world through filtered lens. If I'm going
to
have
We're going to have to leave it there, but you can always listen to it on YouTube. Search word Autism Live, and we will, and of course it will be on for another 2 hours or so. I need to pick a song. Maybe you can say our goodbyes.
Yep. Well, of course, I will see everybody tomorrow on Co-op Radio. So be sure to listen in. We'll have some more clips about chronic pain, things like that. We hope to see you guys at some of our next events, like I said, with Operation Smile and everything. And, of course, Just One More Step is going to be starting in Langley May 24th in front of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring thrift store. And please do check our Facebook page, Community Living Radio, and email us with any comments at
It's Twitter at C Living Radio. And
our Gmail is
Community Living Radio at gmail.com. There you go. Hopefully we got that right together.
Yes.
Stay tuned for other shows that are happening on the NCRA Radio Networks. Of course, again, we'll be back in again next week on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, and the rest of the NCRA Radio Networks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.